Ahoy, hoy, Pinecasters. I'm Pavo.
And I'm Neil.
And this is That's No Moon.
It's a podcast.
So welcome to the very first one of 2017.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody out there. So this is your one-stop shop every week for all your Star Wars news. We will be going on to a little tribute for Carrie Fisher, who very sadly passed away during our Christmas break.
Very sad. But before that, I've got some news. Han Solo, the standalone movie, obviously will be the next movie, will be on its own, won't it? So we've just had Rogue One.
The next standalone movie.
So according to Screen Rant, the new standalone Han Solo movie has now been delayed in its release date from May 2018 to December 2018, following the success of the Star Wars films being released in December.
Oh.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Now, do you think that in time they're going to release two Star Wars movies a year?
No. I don't think they will. I think their business plan is perfect now.
What, every December?
Every December it will become synonymous with Star Wars, and I think that is going to work perfectly. The thing with Marvel, you've got a lot more variation than you will do in Star Wars.
But have you? Because if you look at how rich the Star Wars universe is, they haven't got to stay in the same timeline, if you like. They can go backwards and forwards. If you think of all the time before Star Wars.
Yeah, so you've got all the old
Republic stuff, which I think would make a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Or a TV series, you know. You've got sort of different points in time.
Absolutely. I mean, there is... I'll go back on what I say. That is probably true. But in the audience's mind, Star Wars is those six movies, really, with Force Awakens. So it's new that we've had something that's a standalone. But even that is slightly linked to what they already know. So to break away from what we already know, I wouldn't go the two movies just yet. They still need... If it was me, I would still stay in your December movies, still releasing in December, and then do a movie that totally is away from referencing the original movies. So you haven't got the standalone Han Solo movie, you haven't got the standalone Obi-Wan movie, you've literally got an Old Republic movie, so you'll know no character in it. You know it's in the Star Wars universe and it features Jedi, but that'll be probably it. And then if that works, then yes, I suppose you could go to two movies a year and then be brave. But it's that punt, if that film works, isn't it? That's the brave thing.
Do you think that they'll go on for the saga movies after Episode 9?
Yeah, I think there'll be something else.
Do you think it'll just keep going on and going on and going on, or do you think that there is an end
to it?
Well,
I would think there would be an end point, but with the characters, there'll be an end point. But there'll still be a new saga starting, would have thought. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
So those characters... Do they come back after the three films? Possibly. But eventually they'll need to have an end point. And then you'd start again with new characters. And it could come right away from that universe. And that's where they could be brave and try something new. But it'll see. So I've still got more Han Solo news.
Wow, things are going on.
Yeah,
there it is.
This week, especially. So Woody Harrelson has been rumoured to have been confirmed as being Han Solo's mentor in the standalone Han Solo movie, which I think is great casting. I like Woody Harrelson.
I like Woody Harrelson because he does different things. If you look at him, say, in Kingpin, completely different to what he looks like in the character that's going to be in War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and then there's Rampart, and then he does, like, Zombieland.
Yeah.
So he can do action, he can do comedy, he can do drama very well. True Crime, was it? No, what was it? Was it True Crime?
True Detective.
True Detective.
Yeah.
I mean, he was superb in that, and he held his own with Woody Harrelson. I mean, I think the guy's a great actor, and he doesn't get a lot of the credit I think he actually deserves. So
It would be interesting to see what kind of... character. I mean, obviously, nobody really knows. Well,
somebody
knows what the story is going to be. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see.
And when they say mentor, do they mean he trains him? Is he like the original smuggler and he teaches Han Solo? That'd be
Because you've got to think that it's going to be. I think it's going to be in the vein of like a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of movie. It's going to have a lot of humour.
Yeah, well, you would hope so, wouldn't you?
Being sort of Miller and Lord or Lord and Miller. It's going to have that kind of feel to it. It's not going to be Rogue One dark. It's gonna it's gonna be like a Star Wars Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, and well, that's what I was gonna say, an action film.
Yeah,
with a good splice of humor in it. If they do it well, I think it would have. It's going to have great humour in it, because Harrison Ford as Han Solo in the original trilogy was that cocksure, cocky smuggler, and he was quite funny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, he had the comic relief. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be fun, whatever it is, and Woody Harrelson can play a part with it. Now, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was thinking. I think it's going to start, or it'll be, that he's the original smuggler and Han Solo works for him on the...
Right, do you see
it? And in that sense of being a mentor... I mean, I don't think they'll go Jedi. And
obviously, Lando is in it as well. Do you think?
But that's how we got the Millennium Falcon.
Well, I was going to say, but do you think that maybe that he's the original owner of the Millennium Falcon and Lando wins it off of him? And
could be. No, I was sort of thinking. I think they're going to go with the smuggling route, and obviously the card game will come up, and he wins the Millennium Falcon. That's probably where he goes out on his own.
Do you think we'll see the Kessel Run?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
It's got to be, it's those little iconic things that they've got to do a little nod to, which is what works so well in Rogue One.
Do you think they'll like do a flashback of him as a kid with a young Chewie?
I don't know.
How did they, I'd love to know how he met Chewie.
He saved his in the old canon. He saved his life, didn't he?
What Chewie did?
He saved Chewie's life. So then Chewie then owed him a life debt. That's why he always stayed with him.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's true in the new canon, I don't know. I think that was in the extended universe of the books and stuff.
Right. Be fun.
Tell us if you know, because I'm pretty sure that's what it was in the old one.
Know exactly what it is, don't spoil it for us.
No. Right, so the main part of the news.
So we've just come out of the Christmas period and we've had a gut punch. There's been a couple this Christmas, but for this podcast in particular.
Yeah.
There's been a huge gut punch, and that would be Carrie Fisher.
That's right. Now, obviously, she, on the 23rd, I think it was, she suffered a heart attack.
She did.
On a plane
from
London to LA, went to hospital. And it was weird because the few days after that, her mum, Debbie Reynolds, who unfortunately and sadly passed away the day after Carrie Fisher, was saying that she's sort of not critical anymore. The way it sounded was that everything was fine, but the way that it transpires, I think she never actually woke up.
No, she was in a coma.
She was in a coma, and then she passed away on the 27th, I think.
Debbie Reynolds the day after.
But
it was a gut punch. When I messaged you, didn't I, once it happened, and my initial reaction was I just felt like I'd been kicked in the balls.
Yeah.
It was a childhood, a part of our childhood has gone. And I know she meant the same for you. It was just something. Always thought she'd be there.
Yeah, I've got a mental list in my head of certain people that I've never met and that I don't know, but that I hold dear.
Yeah,
that I've known all my life, if you like. It's in sporting terms, it's people that maybe our American viewers might not know, but you have Kenny Dalglish, Kevin Keegan, they're the sort of people. Harrison Ford, George Lucas, Mark Hamill. On this list of about 8 or 9 people, Carrie Fisher is the first one that has gone.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know. I've always thought to myself, I wonder what I'll feel when one of these passes away. And unfortunately, I found out over Christmas exactly how I felt. And it felt like a member of the family dying. Now, I know that there's a lot of people online have sort of said that people overreact when celebrities die because, you don't know them.
No,
but you don't know who they are. They've never met you.
We had this discussion, didn't we, a lot earlier. It's because they're integral to your life. They're a part of your life. You have grown up with this person.
Absolutely.
So you've idolised this person, for want of a better word. You've seen them on the big screen. They become a part of you and you love who they are, the characters they play and who they become and everything's in. And then you've got that bond with them all the way through your life. So when you lose them, so whether it be a singer, an actor, an actress, whatever, when you lose them, it does hit you because that is a part of your childhood, your life, and your love for something that has gone.
Yeah. Now, I made a point of, that whole, all that night, I kept thinking to myself, I wanted to do a video, and I did a tribute video. And in that video, I said that the one thing that struck me about Carrie Fisher is the age that I was, and I mean, you're slightly younger than I am, aren't you? But I was 8 years old when the original Star Wars came out. And looking back, apart from like my mum, she was the first woman that I thought was beautiful.
Right.
You know, it was this thing of, and it's sort of paraphrasing Anakin from Phantom Menace. It's like, she was an angel.
Yeah.
She was the first woman that I thought of, and I can remember seeing pictures of her and having like the bubblegum cards and seeing pictures of Princess Leia with her flowing white gown and thinking, oh my God, she looks beautiful. No, it wasn't a sexual thing.
No, not at that age.
But that came for Return of the Jedi. I was 14 when Return of the Jedi came out.
Oh, so you were in your prime.
So when it came to like the iconic, and I know that Carrie Fisher didn't particularly like the gold bikini and what it stood for.
And there's issues.
But for me, as a 14-year-old boy, was the first time that I looked at a woman. And I've always been a late developer on things like that, but I can remember thinking, wow. I have feelings here that are different.
Tingles.
Yeah. But that was what it was.
Yeah.
And so that was a big part. And then also then when you start becoming a film fan and then realizing that, okay, she's not Princess Leia, she's Carrie Fisher. She's been in other things. So seeing her in like Blues Brothers, and oh my God, look, it's Princess Leia. And then When Harry Met Sally, I think she was fantastic in When Harry Met Sally.
She was one of the highlights of that film.
And The Burbs. Yeah. I thought she was brilliant in The Burbs. It's those things that
I don't think she got a lot of the credit she deserved either for these performances.
I think when you and as people have shared on Facebook, her when she did the AFI tribute to George Lucas and she came and basically roasted him.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, excuse me.
Well, we had
as a writer and stuff like that. She's fantastic.
How funny she was. We were at the Star Wars convention. How funny. Well, we both said that was probably the best panel.
It
was the panel we were umming and ahhing about going to, but it was probably the best panel.
It was.
Of the weekend, where Warwick Davis and the fun with the dog.
Mm.
And it was just brilliant fun.
Yeah.
And
now, I know that people, obviously, she didn't look glamorous because obviously her life had sort of taken its toll on the way she looked. But sharp as a tack.
When
the stuff that she came up with, I actually found one of the videos that I took of that panel. I put it up on Facebook today. I'm going to get the audio book of her latest book, The Princess Diaries, but I just can't get it at the moment because I think it's going to be too hard to listen to her.
You need
read
to
the book.
A little bit of time, a little bit.
But I want to listen to it. Yeah. I want to listen to it. But it's the first one, and I was surprised how much. And I will say to anybody on Facebook or YouTube or anyone that sent me really really nice messages. That was the thing that also was really really sweet is the fact that the amount of messages I got that night, basically saying the same thing, saying I've just heard about Carrie Fisher. First person I thought of was you. Are you okay? And I'm thinking, I've not got a horse in this race. It's nothing to do with me, but the amount of people that messaged me to ask me if I was okay was so sweet. It was so sweet. So anybody that did that out there that's watching, thank you very much for that because it really did mean a lot. And like I say, I mean, I've got no... I'm not involved in any way in the Fisher family or...
Well, we know we're going to get to see her at the end of this year as well.
We are.
She finished her filming on episode 8.
Yeah. Now, so. I don't want to be so crass as to talk finances when we're doing a tribute to Carrie Fisher, but do you think that episode 8 will now have that Paul Walker feel? Not feel, but sort of thing to it? Because Fast and the Furious... 7 was it?
Yeah.
That took over $1 billion.
And they think it's
because of Paul Walker.
But he died away. A lot sooner to when the film was released. So whether that might have an impact.
Yeah, do you know whether or not it... Do you think that that'll have... Because it's episode 8 anyway, so you would think it's going to be successful in the... At the box
office, we both said we think it'll be very successful, but not Force Awakens successful.
I'm just wondering whether because.
But I think you're quite right. I think it will up a little bit. It just depends because, like I say, with Fast 7, it was Paul Walker was quite close to the release, so there was that.
Yeah.
Whether it, that time will cause a problem, but I think it'll still pick it up a little bit, and I know it's a bit crass to say it, but it will.
Yeah.
But it's in respect to Carrie Fisher, though, that people will go and see it, I think.
Yeah, and I hope... See, again, I've thought before Carrie Fisher had the heart attack and fell ill that Princess Leia was going to die in episode 8.
Oh.
I had that feeling that that's... Now, whether or not they still do it or whether it will go on into episode 9 and the CGI might... You know, yeah. I don't know, but I always thought that naturally in the story that someone big is going to die in episode 8, whether it may be Luke, maybe Princess Leia, maybe it will force their hand, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, I'm sure that it will be done in a tasteful way. It will be dedicated
to... As soon as they've already filmed episode 8 with her part in episode 8, I'm sure. But I don't know. It's going to be very odd to see her. Very odd to see her on there.
It is. But I mean, look, we're both massive Star Wars fans. We're both fans, and even more so after seeing her at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
I was a massive fan of Carrie Fisher, and it was so sad. It was so sad. It was so out of the blue.
Life has lost a character in a true princess.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
You know.
And then the double whammy. I mean, again, Singing in the Rain is one of my favourite musicals.
Yeah.
And for Debbie Reynolds to... The heartbreaking thing for any parent is to see, you know, is your to child. Outlive your child.
Yeah.
And it obviously was too much for her to bear.
Yeah.
And she passed away just a day later, which, again, is just heartbreaking for the rest of the family.
Absolutely.
Well,
our condolences to the whole family and much love and respect.
Indeed.
Let us know what you think about, obviously, the Han Solo film, Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher. You can even comment on Debbie Reynolds below. Please do comment. We'd love to hear from you. And do click subscribe.
Indeed, which you should be able to do around there somewhere. That's sort of it. Just one final thing. We're now on Patreon. So we have some fantastic rewards where you can be on our little roll of honour on our website. We do have our very first patron, if it's called
patron,
that.
Patron, yeah.
So a many, many thanks to Shane Paul. Thank you very much. As you are our very first one, you get a special mention on this week's show.
Well done, Shane.
And your name will go up on our roll of honour as you are our first Pancast official Pancast pal. And if you want to come and have a look at what rewards are available, you want to come and maybe pledge a monthly figure for us, however much you want, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Just go to www.patreon.com/pancast.
Thank you.
And I'm sure the link will be here or up there somewhere on the screen, so you don't have to see my face. That's it.
Yes. Well, it's gone very quick again. It's a bit longer than normal, but that was because of the respects to Carrie Fisher.
Indeed. So we will be back next week for another show. So who knows what might happen in the wonderful, wonderful world of Star Wars in the next 7 days. But whatever it is, we'll have it covered right here on That's No Moon.
It's a podcast.
So thank you very much. So from me, Pavo.
And me, Neil.
It's a goodbye, and may the Force be with you all. Ways.